Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. I heard of a pastor who said, God doesn't send angels to preach to people. God sends people to preach to people. So if you want your Uncle Joe to become a Christian, you don't wait for God to send him an angel. You go talk to Uncle Joe. And that is true. However, there was a time when God sent an angel to preach to people. Do you remember when that was? It's the very first Christmas sermon, where the angel goes to the shepherds, and here's the mini sermon. Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. What I want to do for this message is to go phrase by phrase through the very first Christmas sermon preached by an angel, and let's learn all that we can about Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we pray now that this Christmas would be not just a ceremony or a custom, but we would truly zero in now on the true meaning of Christmas, Lord. Speak to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First words from the angel to the shepherds, fear not. Now, fear not what? What were the shepherds afraid of? Well, probably, you know, this bright, shiny angel in the night, that probably scared them. But, you know, my opinion is also, deep down, everybody is afraid of God. Because God is so holy, and I am so sinful. And I think the first message of Christmas is this: don't fear God. Now, you might say, wait a minute, Pastor. Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, fear God, because He can send you to hell. So what do you mean, don't fear God? Well, when in Luke 12, where Jesus says to fear God, a few verses later, Jesus says, fear not, for you are of more value than many sparrows. So do I fear God or do I not fear God? The answer is yes, both. Let me explain this. When I'm driving a car, I'm normally not afraid. I go up the hill, down the hill, take the corner. But if my tire starts going over the curb, down into the ditch, then I get scared and I get back on the road. Should I fear God? Don't fear God. If you're trusting Christ, following Christ, fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows. But if I turn away from Christ, if I start rejecting Him, if I start living in impenitent sin, I better be afraid and get back on the road. So the first message is, as long as you're trusting in Christ, fear not. Next word from the angel, behold. The word behold in the Greek New Testament means look, listen, pay attention. And there's the next lesson. Pay attention to God's Word. Do you know why most people in this world are not saved? Because they never look, listen, or behold God's Word. They'll spend a lot of time on their computer or looking at their iPhone or watching television or doing this or that, but they rarely even think about God's Word. There's this dear older lady, and she said, Pastor Tom, the last 5 years, I've read the Bible through 5 times. And I want to encourage you to do something. Maybe January 1st, you need to make this New Year's resolution. This year, January 1st, I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to read through the entire Bible this coming year. Listen, look, behold the Word of God. Next word. I bring you, says the angel, good news of great joy. Here's the next lesson. Jesus brings great joy. I was watching Family Feud. Name a place you get bored. You know the number one answer? Church. I thought, ouch. It reminded me what my preaching professor at seminary said. He said this, "The worst mistake of a preacher is not to preach false doctrine. The biggest mistake of the preacher is to take the glorious good news of Jesus Christ and make it boring." I saw a poster years ago of a preacher up in the pulpit, and the picture was taken from behind him. So the poster is, you see everybody in the pews, sleeping in the front pew is Jesus. Ay, ay, ay. So I have a godson, and the purpose of the godfather is to make sure the godson believes in Christ. And so he's 17 years old, went to church every Sunday, but raised in a very liberal church that I don't think preached the good news of Christ much. It was kind of a, anyway. So I go to visit him, and he and I are floating out on rubber rafts in the middle of the lake, so I thought I'd do my duty, and I said, what do you think of your church? Oh, Uncle Tom, it's so boring. I said, well, can I ask you what they've taught you? Do you know what the Trinity is? Never heard of the Trinity, Uncle Tom. So I explained, one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Do you know where people go when they die? I have no idea. I said, well, there's a heaven and a hell. And do you know how to make sure you go to heaven when you die? I guess I don't. And I explained the cross and believe in the Lord Jesus. And it grieved me because, listen, if you go to a church that preaches all kinds of nice stuff, but they never preach you need Jesus Christ to be saved and that he is good news of great joy, you don't have to go to hell. You can be forgiven by faith in Christ. If your church doesn't center on that, I think I'd find a new church. Next words. This good news of great joy will come to all the people. Here's the next lesson. Jesus is for everybody. The ancient Jews thought the Messiah would come and just save them. And right at the beginning in Christmas, God says, nope, this is for everybody. I am a WASP, a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. Jesus did not just come for WASPs. He came for Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, atheists. Jesus is for everybody, is what the angel says here. Including people you don't like. So our job is to tell everybody. So this Christian couple says, Pastor Brock, we see your TV show. We'd like to offer you for free to go visit our oceanfront condo in Naples, Florida. Would you like that? I said, yes, I would. And so I went down and stayed in their nice place in Florida. And I always normally pray in the morning, God, use me to share you with one person today. So I think it was maybe 5:30 in the morning. I got up real early to go jogging on the beach. And I had the whole beach to myself. And then kind of out of nowhere, this strange, and I don't mean to be mean, but he was kind of a creepy guy, shows up. And hey, he stops me from running. Can I sell you my musical CDs? I'm a musician and I want to sell you my CDs. And I said, no, thank you. But he really wanted to talk something. Okay, now Tom, slow down. And he asked me what I did for a living. I told him I'm a pastor. What kind of pastor? I said, I'm a Lutheran pastor. My mom's a Lutheran. And he said, what is your message when you preach? I thought, well, let's get into this. And I said, we're all sinners. We deserve hell. God loved us so much, he came down from heaven, became a human being, born in a baby manger at Bethlehem, rose, grew up, died on the cross of our sins, rose from the dead. And I preached the gospel to him. Eventually I did get back to my running. I don't know what he did with what I had to say. But you know what I thought of? I bet his Lutheran mom was praying for him. And folks, we need to slow down and remember, Jesus is good news of great joy for everybody. And we need to share the gospel with everybody. There's an evil teaching going around the Christian church these days that says Jews don't need Jesus to be saved. Jews are saved by the Old Testament. Christians are saved by the New Testament. Wrong. Jesus the Jew said to his Jewish disciples in John 14, I'm the only way to heaven. And then later, Jesus' Jewish apostles preached to the Jews in Acts chapter 4 saying, there's only one name given under heaven by which we must be saved. So my point here is, Jesus is for absolutely everybody. Everybody needs him to be saved. Let's look at the next words. For to you is born. Next words, the words to you means we must personalize Christianity. It's for you. When I was a kid, every tree, every gift under the tree had a little sticker on it. To mommy from Tom, or to dad from Mark, and every gift was personalized. Have you personalized Christianity? Do you know that Jesus is not just for everybody? He's for you. Here was an elderly man at the church and came to church regularly, had a drinking problem, and finally the police took his license away, and I was trying to minister to him, and I said, well, you know, I'm at his house, and Mr. So-and-so, do you pray? No, I never pray. I said, you come to church? Yes, I come to church. Well, you never pray? Why don't you pray? Well, I'm Finnish. Well, they don't pray in Finland. And so I tried my best to get him to start praying, and he did. But you know what's interesting? For him, Christianity was a cultural thing. You go to church on Sunday, and you observe Christmas, but he hadn't personalized it, that Jesus was not just for everybody, but for you. And I want to read these words from Martin Luther from 500 years ago. Listen to this quote from Luther. I have often said that there are two kinds of faith. First, a faith in which you indeed believe that Christ is such a man as he is described in the Gospels. But you do not believe that he is such a man for you. And you are in doubt whether you have any part in him. And you think, well, yes, he is such a man to others, to Peter, Paul, and the blessed saints. But who knows that he is such a man to me, and that I may expect the same from him as the saints? Behold, Luther says, this faith is nothing. It does not receive Christ nor enjoy him, neither can it feel any love for him. It is faith about Christ and not faith in Christ, a faith which even the devils have and evil men have. And then Luther says, that alone can be called Christian faith, which believes without wavering that Christ is the Savior not only to Peter and the saints, but also to you. Your salvation does not depend upon the fact that you believe Christ to be the Savior of the godly, but that he is the Savior to you and has become your own. Such a faith will work in you love for Christ and joy in him, and good works will naturally follow. If they do not, faith is surely not present, for where faith is, there the Holy Spirit is and will work love and good works. So that's my question. Is Christmas not just a nice family get together or ceremony? Have you personalized? Jesus is for you. Next words. For to you is born a Savior. Now, do you know what Jesus saves us from? Three things. Jesus saves us from sin, death, and the devil. He saves me from internal judgment, that's called guilt. He saves me from external judgment, that's death. But one day he'll save me from eternal judgment, and that's called hell. That is what Jesus saves us from. Story many years ago of an Indian chief who accepted Christ. Some of the neighboring chiefs heard about his conversion, and they wanted to have a powwow with him, and they all gathered together, and they said, what does this mean? You're saved. And the chief took a handful of dry wood chips and put them in a circle on the ground. He took a worm and put a worm in the middle of the circle. He lit the chips on fire in a circle, and they watched as the worm tried to get out this way and was repelled back in the middle, and tried to get out this way and was repelled back. Finally, the chief took his hand, took the worm, put him safely to the side. And he said, I am that worm. I was destroying myself and dying in my sin. And we have a great chief, Jesus Christ, who came from heaven, came down to earth, born in Bethlehem, raised a perfect human being, died on the cross, rose from the dead, and he pulled us out and has put us now into his eternal kingdom. That's what it means, saved. Next word. He is Jesus Christ. You know what the word Christ means? It's not his last name. Some people think Jesus, Joseph and Mary Christ had a baby, called him Jesus Christ. No, no, no. When you say Jesus Christ, you're saying Jesus is the Christ. It's a title. The word Christ literally means anointed one. The Old Testament prophesied that an anointed one, a Christ, would come and save God's people. And that's who Jesus is. Last word. He is Jesus Christ, the Lord. The word Lord has two meanings. Number one, it means Jesus is our God. Do you know that in Luke chapters 1 and 2, the word Lord appears 25 times. Every time it refers to God the Father, except in this verse where it refers to Jesus, which teaches that Jesus also is God with the Spirit, one with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when you say Jesus is Lord, you're saying he's God. But the other thing Jesus is Lord means, he's my master. When the New Testament was written, the Roman Empire ruled and every slave had a master. When you say Jesus is Lord, it means he's my God, but he's also my master. He's my boss, I'm his slave. So let me ask you this, as Christmas draws near here. Is Jesus your master? Is he running your life? Or are you running your life? And I close with this. A couple hundred years ago in England, there was a wealthy man who had a carriage driver, a coachman. And his job was to take care of the horses and to take the coach and the family and travel. And finally, one day, the master had to say to him, I have to let you go with your drinking problem. It's not safe for you to drive my children and my wife, and I have to let you go. But then he said, Henry, don't you think it's time you give him the reins of your life? Quite a long time passed, and later, the wealthy man met his old coachman on the street, maybe kind of an awkward moment, but the coachman runs over, sir, I just want you to know, I'm a coachman again, I have a fine job, and sir, I want you to know, I did give him the reins of my life. You know, the best thing you can do this Christmas is to say, God, I don't want to run my life anymore. I want you to take control of the reins of my life. If you've never said, Lord Jesus, you take control of my life, I would do that today. And then find a good church and go every week and follow Christ and let him take the reins of your life. That is what Christmas is all about. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today, do all Christian churches teach that Jesus is God?
The answer is yes. And if your church teaches Jesus is not God, it is not a Christian church. Unitarians don't believe Jesus is God. Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe Jesus is God. So those would be non-Christian churches. Virtually all the historic churches, Catholic, Orthodox, Lutheran, Baptist, Methodist, they all believe in the Trinity, one God in three persons, and that Jesus is God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another question. I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I still sin, and so I wonder, am I truly saved?
Well, after we're baptized, after we're saved, we still sin. I think we sin daily in thought, word, and deed. In fact, you know, now and then you'll meet somebody who will say, I'm a Christian, I haven't sinned for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, huh? And if 1 John chapter 1 says, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. So, yeah, if you're living in sin after your conversion, something's really wrong, and you're probably not saved. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. You can't live in impenitent sin. But nevertheless, every day we sin in some way, and we need forgiveness daily.
Okay.
And we receive it from Christ daily. Hallelujah.
Amen. Was Jesus born on December 25th?
Nobody knows when Jesus was born. So if somebody is making some, they show some chart and see it has to be December 25th or April 14th. No, we just don't know the date.
Okay. If I want to read the entire Bible through this coming year, do you have any advice on how to do that?
Sure. Just go to the internet and Google the words, through the Bible in a year reading plan. And print that off, and it'll show you what to read January 1st, January 2nd, January 3rd, and following that plan, you'll be through the whole Bible in 1 year. So there's a bunch of different plans. Pick the one you like. Just Google through the year in a Bible reading plan, and the main thing is to just do it.
Amen.
Yeah.
I no longer attend church. I would like to, but so many have turned away from God. Can you provide me with a list of churches that are still godly in their teaching?
Yeah. First of all, I preach against the heresy in the church a lot on our program. That doesn't mean you don't go to church. You do go to church. There are lots of good Christian churches still out there. So, but to answer her question, I'm a Lutheran. Let's take Lutherans first. All the Lutheran denominations are pretty good, except the big one. Mm-hmm. The ELCA Lutheran Church is the big one who denies, some of them deny that hell exists. They deny Jesus is the only way. Some of them, they're into promoting homosexuality, transgenderism. That's the big one. The ELCA, I wouldn't go to an ELCA church. Mm-hmm. Your offering dollars can pay for abortions. But the Missouri Synod, Wisconsin Synod, the Free Lutheran Church, the Lutheran LCMC. So all the Lutheran denominations are pretty good except for the big one. Same is true as in Presbyterianism. The biggest Presbyterian denomination is the Presbyterian Church USA, just as liberal as the ELCA. I'd stay away from the PCUSA, but you can go to the Orthodox Presbyterian Church or the Presbyterian Church in America. There's good options. But everybody, you have to be discerning in this day and age.
You do.
Yeah.
Jeremiah 1:4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctify thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God was speaking to Jeremiah. Why does it apply to everyone?
I think this person is asking, Jeremiah was predestined, but that's just Jeremiah, not the rest of us. Well, I'm going to show you a verse that shows all believers in Christ were predestined. This is from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Before God made the world, he chose believers to be in Christ, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us. So every believer, not just Jeremiah. I mean, Jeremiah was predestined to be a prophet at that time. But every true believer has been predestined by God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I attend a Wesleyan church, and it has a lot of good, godly believers, but it recently has decided to ordain women as pastors. Our main pastor is a man, and the woman preaches infrequently. What scripture do you use to back up the position that women shouldn't preach? Should I stay at this church?
John Wesley founded the Methodist Church. There's another example. The big Methodist Church is called the United Methodist Church. They, too, are very liberal. I wouldn't go to a United Methodist Church. But there's a group called the Global Methodist Church, which is very good, and it's really growing because a lot of people are leaving the United Methodist. She goes to a Wesleyan church. That's a form of a Methodist church. And they're much more conservative, but they do, it sounds like, they now have women pastors. I wouldn't sit under the preaching of a woman because 1 Timothy 2 says women should not preach over adult men. Women can teach women can teach children, but Paul says don't put a woman over the congregation to preach over adult men. And you know what happens when they do? The men don't show up. I mean, if women are doing everything in the church, men, you know, but anyway, 1 Timothy chapter 2, I believe, teaches the leadership of the church should be male. When Jesus chose 12 disciples, he didn't choose 6 men and 6 women. He chose 12 men. So, and it's not that women are inferior. It's just the way God made us. Mm-hmm. We have different functions in life. So there you go.
Okay. Yeah. What is your opinion of the Assemblies of God Church?
The Assemblies of God is a Pentecostal church. It's Trinitarian. They believe in the Trinity. My disagreement with them is they have the belief that when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, everybody then can really speak in tongues if you only would. The Bible says some speak in tongues, some have other gifts. Not mm-hmm. everybody has that gift. So that's my gripe with Assemblies. On the other hand, they are often the people that are winning the lost to Christ, mm-hmm. the Assemblies of God. There's a second group that's a cult called the Oneness Pentecostal group, or the United Pentecostal group, and they deny the Trinity. Mm-hmm. They believe Jesus is God, but only Jesus is God, and they have the Trinity messed up, and they also teach you have to speak in tongues to be saved. Well, that's adding something to the cross. It's only Jesus on the cross that saves me, and the book of Galatians was written to show you don't add anything to that. Circumcision, speaking in tongues, no, only Christ's death is what saves us. So there you go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you think the Missouri Synod and Wisconsin Synod Lutherans will ever get together?
Well, again, people don't know. I'm a Lutheran. The Missouri Synod is a conservative, biblical branch of Lutheranism. So is the Wisconsin Synod. Normally, I preach against the crazy liberalism in Protestant churches, but there can be crazy conservatism, too. And the difference between the Missouri Synod Lutherans and the Wisconsin Synod is, from my point of view, so tiny. But the Wisconsin Synod won't take communion with the Missouri Synod because of tiny doctrinal differences. Mm. Will they ever get together? Only the Lord knows.
Only the Lord knows.
Well, Mona, let's say Merry Christmas, then I'm going to do a little something here.
Merry Christmas to all our viewers.
Yep, and everybody, just we pray you have a great Christmas. You know, before you open presents or have your meal, open up mm-hmm. to Luke chapter 2 and read it to your family. Try to make Christ the center of your Christmas. And as we end the year here, let me just tell you how this ministry works. We're on the air because of God, but also because He moves people to support our ministry. And when we get enough money, we add TV stations. When the money goes down, we maybe have to withdraw from stations. We don't want to withdraw. We want to expand. Mm-hmm. So would you pray about supporting our ministry? And just seeing what the Lord might do if He gave us a one-time gift or a weekly or a monthly gift. But that would really help us stay on the air and not to have to withdraw, because we want to reach people with the message of Christ. So, and I'm very cheap, and my board is very frugal. Your money goes where it should go. So everybody, Merry Christmas,
and we'll
see you next time at the Pastor's Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.